Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. As we enter into another year of the podcast, I can't thank you enough for listening and hopefully your support. With more options than ever before for podcast listening, supporting this program and becoming an extra podcast person is more important than it ever has been in the past. And I always try and make it worth your while to be a supporter. For only $5 a month as an EPP, an extra podcast person, here's what you get. You get access to our bonus episodes, brand new ones every single week, more than 300 in the archive that you get with our best ghost stories. You get a free e-copy of our best-selling book, Real Ghost Stories, Haunting Encounters Told by Real People. You also get the audiobook version of it as well. In addition to that, you're going to get advanced episodes of our program released to you weeks before they go to the public, and they're commercial free. So if you're a big listener of the show, you want to cut the ads out, you want to cut this plea out as well, become an EPP, an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. You're going to get all of that. On top of that, you also get access to our video archive of our episodes of Seeing Ghosts with new episodes coming in 2020. You get advanced ticket sale options when we go and do live shows so you can get seats before everybody else, and a whole lot of other extras throughout the year as a supporter of our program for only $5 a month. Please consider supporting the show. You guys spending that $5 a month as a whole is what keeps this alive. Without the support, we will not exist. So if you listen, if you've been an EPP in the past, please consider signing back up to be an extra podcast person and help this show survive. We love doing it, but we can only do it with your support. Ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. And thank you for your support. Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what should be a cozy family setting turns out to be a house of horrors. Or in this case, a haunted log cabin. Who are the spirits that haunt this log cabin? And what do they want?
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is, 855-853-4802. Our phone number, Real Ghost Stories Online, to share your real ghost stories with us, right on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or email your audio file, send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. And as always, if you like the show, support us, keep us on the air, become an extra podcast person, EPP, as we call it. You do that at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories to help keep the show alive and well. Tony and Carol Hughes joining you today.
Hey, my friend. How's it going?
It's going well. And yourself?
Great. So, do you like what I sent you earlier tonight about a new collection idea for your daughter? It'd be probably better for you.
I think she'd love it, except for the nightmare portion of it. This is genius. And what she's talking about is something that somebody has put online called Precious Mutations.
It's on Instagram. You can follow him at Precious Mutator.
Okay.
And but they're the Precious Moments dolls, but they're mutated.
Yeah, and they're like skeletons, or one like has like cut their face off and is holding and eating the flesh. It's just the most horrible shit that you would never expect out of a Precious Moments doll, but done with what appears to be a Precious Moments doll. I wonder if they've ever gotten a cease and desist from the Precious Moments company, because I could it's like the Super Skank Barbie or something that came out in the late 90s, where she was wearing like...
It would be considered art.
Yeah, that's true. It's great. I love it.
But I think there's enough twisted people who listen to this podcast that would love it. We could put the link up on the page.
Yeah.
But it's like one of them is just the cute little head, but attached to like a spider body. It's that kind of thing. Or like it's a skeleton face, or they're bleeding and they've been mutated, like the little arms cut off and they're bleeding. It's just...
Yeah.
It's very twisted.
Totally.
But kind of in a brilliant sort of way.
It is. And it's very well done. It's not like, well, let's make these creepy with magic marker and send them out. It's like very well done.
What I find they're creepy.
Hilarious about this is I remember being in elementary school and I went to a Christian elementary school from like kindergarten to fifth grade. And it seemed that every holiday or reason to give a teacher a gift, that was the thing. It was like, okay, we're collecting money so we can get her the latest Precious Moments figure. And like everybody, you know, here's $5, you know, and then she, oh, a Precious Moments figure. I love these. These are wonderful. And then they had, you know, like a whole curio cabinet full of these things. And I always
like, of course, down the road would be worth money. And there, I think there's so many bazillions of them. They're probably not.
It's like saying Happy Meal toys are going to be a collector's item. You know, it's like, yeah, not really. But it's, I always just, it was in that sort of a setting. So I saw these a lot and I always thought they were a little odd and semi creepy. But now to see them in this form, genius. And this is not an advertisement. They did not buy airtime. Carol found them and just, it looked cool. So we had to talk about it.
It just looks so you.
Yeah. It's
as soon as I saw it, I'm like, Tony would love these.
It's awesome. I'm going to reach out to them and I want one for the studio. So I'll see if they can send one. PreciousMutations.com is their website. If you reach out to them, let them know you heard about it on Real Ghost Stories Online. So they can figure out why they're suddenly getting an influx of people on some odd day reaching out to them. Neat stuff. I love it. What's our phone number here? 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost story with us. Write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. We'd love to hear your real ghost story. Let's go to our first letter of the day. It says, my family and I used to live in this log cabin home while we were building our new house. The log cabin was huge and set on a property with a farm and a pond. I lived in this house when I was around 5 to 8 years old and never liked to be alone in any part of the house. My room was across the hall from my parents' bedroom, whereas my stepbrother and stepsister's room were upstairs. At night, we would all hear footsteps above my room down the hallway. And my brother and sister would always hear someone walking around in the walk-in attic space that we use for storage. My parents would blow it off as squirrels on the roof or birds, but none of us liked to be alone in the house. My room didn't have a door on it, so if anyone walked by, I would see and hear them. One night, I was lying in bed and watching a movie on the portable DVD player. I remember hearing a girl giggle and run down the hallway towards the living room. She was wearing a beige nightgown with sleeves down to her wrists with dark brown hair and bangs. I always woke up at 2:33 a.m. to my clothes swaying back and forth in my closet as if someone was playing hide-and-go-seek and hid under my hanging clothes in the closet and hear the little girl whisper, "They come here." Right outside my room was a door that led to the kitchen and living room. One night while my brother, sister, and I were home alone watching TV in the living room, the fireplace lit up. It was a gas fireplace. It had a knob on the wall that had to be turned to come on, and my brother got up to turn it off, and the knob was turned to off. I always felt like I was being watched from the hallway, as it was always dark and did not have any sort of light in the hallway. Besides, our living room was a huge space that was the size of a dining hall at a university, but was used as a game room or where we stored things. We weren't using at the time, like Christmas trees or decorations. We hated going into the room because it was always cold, dark, and unsettling. My cousin had moved in with us in that room while they were getting situated in the new job and looking for a house. He'd always end up running upstairs and sleeping with my brother because he would wake up to tapping on the windows and said he would see a dark figure with no face waving at him outside his window. When he'd run out of the room into the living room, he would notice the door would be locked and he could not ever remember locking it before bed. Shortly before, he moved out because he said he felt like he was going crazy. All of this started about 2 months after we were settled into this house. Our parents never believed us until one night they were asleep and my mom woke up to the same little girl I saw swinging around the wooden columns in their room like she was on a merry-go-round. Once the little girl noticed that she had been spotted, she ran straight into the wall and disappeared. I do not know if the previous owner built this home or if they experienced anything, but we also felt like we were being watched and followed as we rode our four-wheelers through the woods and trails behind the house. I hope this makes the podcast. Hope you enjoy the story. Thanks. Thoughts?
Like when they left, they felt like it followed them outside.
Say that again. You cut out, or I didn't have you unmuted.
When they went outside, did they feel like it followed them out there?
Yeah, I believe so. Where it was kind of wherever they would go or wherever she would go, it seemed to.
Because that's so weird. Because a lot of times, you know, it's just like inside the house. Mm-hmm. Like when I was a kid, whatever it was in the house. And I always felt like once I got outside, I could breathe. Mm-hmm. But that would really suck if you go outside and you don't get, it's like they're still there.
Yeah.
That would be horrible.
I wonder if it's possible to have like an attachment type following, but it only shows up around certain areas where it's not necessarily connected to the house or to a specific property or anything like that. It's something where it's following you around and you don't realize it's that until you move away and then you find another hot spot that it seems to be able to come out. And almost like, you know, it's feeding off of something, and it can only feed off certain things in certain areas.
I would hate that.
It'd be confusing.
Like, just leave me alone, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, because you got the, you know, people who are, you know, they're haunted, essentially. They always have had things follow or they're sensitive to them. But then I think you have the genuine, this is, you know, a location-based haunting. It's this house, and that's it. The people are not haunted. But I think it can be very confusing if you have something like that, where it can only come out under certain parameters. Because you'd wonder, you'd think, well, it's just the house, because it seems to be the only place it happens. But then,
right,
you know, 8 years later, when you get to this other house, it's the same thing, same stuff, but it didn't happen in the house the last 8 years. So why did this thing bring it out? Where it's just very situational and it you know, feeds off of certain energy. I suppose, you know, it's the same with people to a certain extent, and the environment that they are in. It's like being triggered by something. Like, you can be fine for a long time and have nothing happen and you're in a good environment, but then you're surrounded by something negative, or a certain something is around you, and it just triggers you to then be a certain way again. And it's not that it's that house or something that is doing it. It's whatever is triggering something within you, within your environment. I suppose that could be the same.
Like we've talked a lot of times before. I mean, there are certain people who just are more open to that. Mm-hmm. Whether you want to be or not,
yeah.
It's just some people are, I think, that's, they attract that.
Yeah.
Or they're more in tune with it. And I get that.
Yeah. It's not a choice thing. It's just kind of, you got it or you don't, or I think it can be sometimes honed in on, but that's more so, I think, when you're trying to focus on those abilities than anything else. So thanks for sharing that story with us. 855-853-4802 is the phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Of course, write in at Real Ghost Stories Online. .com. Next letter, it says, "Hey guys, this story happened when I was 9. My father had passed away from a car accident when I was 9, and he lingered for 2 weeks before passing away. Never got to see him in the hospital because it was so bad and we were very close. I was staying with my mom's parents during this time as my mom was at the hospital with my dad. My dad passed away, and after the funeral, my mom, older brother, and sister came to tell me what happened. My mom at the time thought I best didn't go because I was so close to him and my older brother was traumatized by a funeral when he had been my age. Okay, so a few days before they came, I had fallen asleep at around 9:30 p.m. I had a dream that my father had come to pick me up. I remember being so happy, but my dad being serious. He said, 'I've come to take you to your mom.' He was in a blue suit and had scabs on his knuckles. Then the next part of the dream is that I'm dropped off in front of a hospital and all I can make out is a green awning and my mother running to a cigarette machine and stopping and looking around. After I was done telling my dream, my family got quiet and I thought I said something wrong, but my mom told me that she thought Daddy came to say goodbye to me. I was told that I was special and to never fear that gift. I was also told my dad was buried in a blue suit. And being that most of his injuries were internal, he didn't have any cuts, but he did have scabs on his knuckles from the accident. Also, the hospital he was in had a green awning in front, and being in the early 70s, they still had cigarette machines in hospitals. My dad, being a smoker and in severe pain, kept begging my mom to get him cigarettes. Obviously, he wasn't allowed to smoke, but he'd get so agitated. My mom would go to the machine, stop, look around, go back up, and tell him they didn't have any of his brand. Turned out, I had this dream the same night he passed away. I fell asleep at 9:30 p.m. and he passed away at 10:30 p.m. My family still talks of this to this day, and I've had other visitations like this when someone close to me dies. Let me know your thoughts and love your podcast very much. Hugs. Yeah, I think very obvious there and very true that he did come to say his goodbye and try and give you some form of peace.
Well, and, you know, I kind of look at things like that as what a gift. I mean, just to, it could freak you out when you're 9 years old, but the fact that you had, like, I hope that down the road, they were able to find peace with that. Like, that was really cool that my dad did that. Mm-hmm. I think it is. Like, I think that's amazing. Like, I love hearing stories like that.
It goes back, and I talked about this in an episode the other day with Jen. I'm most intrigued, I think, about like the death process, like right after. Like, how does this work? Because we hear so many stories of, well, then I think that they turned into a butterfly and came back and gave me a message. Or I think that they put on the blue suit and came back and gave me a message. It's like, okay, well, when you pass, do you get to choose your own adventure on that? Like, is it okay, I'm dead, now I want to just be myself and linger around, or I want to reincarnate as this or that, or how does that work? You know, are you just assigned? Is it like,
what
is
if
it
I had the answers to that? Oh my God, I'd be rich.
Is it just the world that says, or the energy, everything that just says, you're best suited to be a sloth, or whatever the fuck you end up getting to be? And see, that's what you get with no choice in the matter.
Like, I don't know that all of it is necessarily reincarnation, because, like, recently on Facebook, somebody had posted that their grandma loved cardinals, like those, the male cardinals, the real red ones. I think people don't realize that girls are cardinals too sometimes. But that's kind of a sign that a lot of people think is a loved one.
Sure.
So the grandmother loved cardinals, and apparently before she died, she was like, you know, watch for the cardinals. And then so they were sitting outside, and there is a cardinal that just landed right next to them. And they snapped a picture of it. It's like, I was sitting outside, and the cardinal literally landed on the chair that's 2 feet away from me. And, like, that never happens.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it's the grandma in the bird, but I think somehow that's like a sign, like maybe they can direct it. Like me, it's pennies with my dad. Mm-hmm. Like I find pennies, and I don't know how he could put a penny in certain places, but I've certainly found them in places that I shouldn't have, or when I really needed one. And so I don't know how, but I don't think my dad's the penny. But I just think there's some orchestration you're able to do to give somebody that sign. But in a dream, I think that's even a whole nother level.
Yeah. It's interesting, but, I mean, with cardinals specifically, because I've always heard that too. And what I'm observing I've seen cardinals throughout my life. I sparsely saw them, I think, when I was younger. It was like, ooh, a cardinal. You hardly see those. And as you get older, the more, you know, just with life and the more people you meet and know, and as you get older, more people die. That's just the reality of it. But I also feel like the frequency and number of cardinals I see has dramatically increased from childhood to now, where it's like they're fucking everywhere. They're like robins. You know? it's like all the dead people. I don't know if that's them, but it's an interesting thing where it's like, they used to be so sparse to see. Like, I see them all over in, like, multiples.
And I think the cool thing about the cardinals is they're so bright red that they catch your eye.
Yeah.
So whereas a robin is a pretty nice looking bird, but it's like, oh, there's another robin. But yeah, the cardinals, there's just something special about seeing one.
Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah, so I don't know. I would love to know how it all works once you're gone. But how, like, was her dad able to come to her in a dream? And he hadn't even passed yet. You know, so I think, and we've talked about that. In fact, last week we were talking about that. Like, your spirit visiting something else while you're still alive. Mm-hmm. Astral projection or whatever. And yep. I don't know that that would qualify as that. But I think that in that space, like if her dad died an hour later, there's that weird in-between space. Like you've got one foot in both places.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's been stories of people who have been, essentially on life support at the very end to keep them alive for X amount of time. So if they're an organ donor, for example, so their organs can be, you know, taken and used, but the doctor who's going to do that isn't going to be here for a day or something. So we have to keep the body living artificially, even though they're brain dead and everything else. And in that window of time where they're not giving any signs of life whatsoever, other than this thing is pumping their blood and their heart, there's that window where people are seeing the ghost of the individual as if they were dead. So you have to wonder if, you know, well, once our body really does shut itself down naturally and our brain has naturally shut itself down, if, you know, that's the point where, okay, you're out. Although, like you were saying, you know, there's stories of people fully functioning and alive in, you know, a dream state or a meditative state, and then they're out over there and other people are seeing them or picking up on them. I don't know what that is or why that is, but there's been an increase in stories of the such. I don't know if it's just because we've been talking about it more frequently, and then that just simply invites that stuff in where people are like, I'm not alone. I got this story. And then we start to see kind of waves, or if it's just happening more frequently. I don't know. But those are fascinating to me of the, you're alive, but still a ghost.
But man, losing your dad at 9, that would be tough.
It would be. Thank you. Thanks for sharing that that experience with us here on the program. Let's go to our next letter. It says this takes place in St. Louis, Missouri, my hometown. I still reside there, but I no longer live in the house where I grew up. My parents still live there and claim that the house is no longer haunted ever since it was blessed. From what I remember, it was haunted. There have been many incidents, but one that I vividly remember took place when I was about 13 years old. I have a younger brother named Carlos, and at the time, he was 10. My mother was a janitor at an elementary school, and earlier that day, she had brought home a very large bucket of crayons. Carlos and I spent the rest of the day coloring in our room. It was about 9 p.m., and my father said it was time for bed. Carlos and I shared a very small room with bunk beds. He got the top bunk, and I got the top. Or bottom, and I got the top. We didn't feel like going to bed, so I took a handful of crayons and climbed to the top bunk and started throwing them at my brother, who was lying on the bottom bunk. He would throw some back at me. We were laughing loud, got really rowdy, so my father stormed into the bedroom and said, "What the heck are you kids doing? Clean up these crayons and get your asses in bed now." Quickly, we cleaned up all the crayons and threw them back in the bucket. My little brother and I feared our father. We were so afraid of him that we slept in the same bunk on the bottom. We passed out, and about midnight, my brother woke me up. He said, "Jasmine, I'm scared. Look at the door down the steps." Our bedroom door was right in front of the steps that led to the downstairs reception lobby area. I looked down the steps, and the light in the lobby was flickering on and off in a pattern. The switch was loud, since it was one of those switches that make a loud click when you flick it. We could see the switch flicking up and down from our bedroom, but no one was there flicking it. We both grew very frightened. I told him to ignore it, and probably it was defective. I didn't want him to be scared, but I knew I was really scared. I turned away from the steps and fell asleep. Later that night, Carlos woke me up again. He said, "Jasmine, wake up. I'm scared." I awoke, and our bedroom door was now closed, and it was pitch black in our room. Carlos said, "Listen, it sounds like crayons hitting the walls." I listened for a few seconds, and that's exactly what it sounded like. It was very scary. I was very afraid. So I pulled out a flashlight and we kept it under the bed. I turned it on, looked around the room and saw nothing. No crayons flying against the walls. I saw nothing out of the ordinary. We continued to listen and the noise never stopped. Finally, we fell asleep. When we woke up the next morning, to our surprise, the crayons were all out of the bucket and all over the floor. There were crayon markings on the walls as if someone threw crayons at the walls and little left dotted markings. We were terrified. We cleaned up the crayons, threw them away, told everyone in the house what had happened, but Carlos and I were youngest of all the children and everyone thought we were immature. They believe we made the whole story up. Years later, I brought the story up to my older brothers and sisters and they believed me since it was years later and I was still claiming the story to be true. Please feel free to let me know your thoughts on this experience. Any thoughts on this experience?
So a haunted bucket of crayons?
I don't know if the crayons were haunted or what exactly was...
Because they got rid of the crayons and I don't know if things continued happening. Like, I think there's probably some things that... other things that happened.
Mm-hmm.
That's like, here's the bucket of haunted crayons. I don't think that's the case. But what's really shitty is that they're scared of their dad and their dad was mad about them throwing crayons. And then they're in bed and the crayons are being thrown. So it looks like, you know, dad would get up in the morning and be mad again.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's like a ghost was setting them up to get in trouble.
That seems like a childish thing to do, doesn't it? Like something that a kid would do, though. Almost like, you know, I'm going to totally fuck with you. And, you know.
But I'm not going to get in trouble for it. You are.
Yeah.
It's a little evil kid.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got an evil bucket of crayons.
It's an interesting thing. I mean, I think that's maybe why every once in a while Crayola goes through and says, we're going to get rid of these colors and they're gone. Because I think maybe they get enough stories to the Crayola company saying, my house is infested with demons and I'm blaming dandelion yellow on this shit. So you better fucking dump it. And then what do you know? Dandelion yellow is gone. And
because that's just really weird to me. That's the weirdest part. Like the light going on and off is creepy. Totally creepy. But the fact that that's what they got in trouble for was throwing crayons. And then they wake up and the crayons are being thrown. It's like somebody's setting them up to get in trouble.
You know, it's an interesting... Here's a thought on this. I wonder what the source of the crayons was. Like, where did they come from? Were they brand new from, you know, the Walgreens?
If there's a bucket, they're not brand new. It sounds like... Because brand new crayons, like, especially with kids, if they're brand new, you put them back in the right spot. You really take care of them.
Yeah. Or...
Until they're not brand new, and then you throw them in a bucket.
Were they picked up, you know, secondhand in like a thrift store, a garage sale? Like, hey, here's a bucket of crayons and art supplies. Great, 50 cents. This will keep my kids busy all summer. You know, back in the days prior to technology. You know, I wonder what that story is. What's the origin of them? Because just like any object, yes, I believe a crayon could be haunted. And especially if there's a little kid involved that had passed away. And they were really connected to their crayons and they loved them. I could see them being connected to that and doing this thing.
Especially
if it
was a shitty little kid.
Yeah.
You know? Mm-hmm. Like that bully kid. It's like, I'll show you guys.
Yeah. It's like,
shit. You're scared of your dad now. Just wait till the morning.
Shit didn't work out.
You know,
for
the
me.
Dad would be really mad if he noticed that crayon markings on the wall.
Yeah. And crayons, one of those things that, like, you know, like, I'll give them crayons instead of markers. Yeah, to a certain extent, they're better than markers. But if you draw on shit with crayon, that's another very tough one to get out without having to, like, sand and repaint.
Yeah, because like, you can't paint right over crayon.
No, it's just, it's wax. And it doesn't really come out easily by scrubbing without it looking really obvious. I mean, one of those things that I've never been a proponent of, and I know it's been kind of a thing in the last, I don't know, 10, 15 years, is this marketing of like markers and things like that. So kids can draw on windows and, you know, sometimes on walls because it's erasable or this or that. It's like, this is a bad idea. It's like you're teaching someone that it's okay to,
exactly,
because they don't under a lot of, especially, and it's marketed to, like, you know, 2 to 6 year olds or something. It's like, okay, they're not going to understand that this is a special one, and like the other one that they just found, you know, behind the couch is not the same one. So you can't, like, and then it's going to turn into a bad thing. You're going to be mad, or they're going to be confused. Well, I thought it was another marker. It's like, how about we just draw on normal shit? Why do we have to, like, go and draw all over the windows? And why? It's like, this is just inviting problems, it seems.
I like those one markers that only draw on a certain paper.
Yeah, those are neat.
It's like magic paper.
Yeah. I like those. And it was it was a clear marker, and then whatever you filled in, it just it was the right color, and it worked magically. Those are neat. I like those. Harp had one where it was like a painting version of that, where there was like water in this brush and then you painted it, and then it did the page. But there you go. Haunted crayons. I don't think we've heard that one before. I think that might be
a new one. But it's like, it just makes you wonder, like, I didn't think she said, like, and then all these other crazy things happen. That's just one great example. Mm-hmm. It sounds like that's one that really stuck with her.
Well,
obviously, if she's telling her siblings as an adult. But it's just interesting to me that the crayons come in the house, they're throwing them, dad's mad, somebody's throwing them.
If objects can be haunted, and I think we've established that 1,000 times over, why not crayons as the object?
They're objects.
Exactly. So there you go. Thanks for sharing that story with us. Greatly appreciate it. And that is going to wrap up this episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, support it. Keep it on the air. Become an extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Until next time, for Carol Hughes, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.